You know that from the Feast of the Epiphany to the Feast of the Baptism, in the course of 1 week, we skipped 30 years of our Lord's life. And in a sense, John the Baptist is prophesying. So here on the second day of Jesus' public ministry, John is already foreshadowing to Good Friday, that the cross is already casting a shadow back to the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. We saw that in the Feast of Christmas, there were already symbols of the Eucharist, of Jesus' self-offering on the cross, that were already made manifest when he was an infant. And here on his baptism, again, the cross is casting a long shadow. And John the Baptist is telling us, behold the Lamb of God. Now, John the Evangelist, from whom we are taking this story, has just spent the last 28 verses of the first chapter of his gospel telling us of Jesus' preexistence as the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, and that for us and for our salvation, that he took on our flesh. And here John the Baptist is saying, in a sense, what Jesus is going to do with our flesh, that he is going to offer it on the cross. John uses the image, again, of the Lamb of God, and much, much ink has been spilled and much air has been expelled in homilies, just like this one, as to what the Lamb of God might mean. Now, for the Jewish people of John and Jesus' day, they, of course, were very familiar with the Passover lamb, the lamb that was sacrificed and whose blood marked the doors of the Jewish believers, recalling the Passover in Egypt, when God passed over the houses marked with the blood of the lamb. Also, in the Jewish ritual of the day, there was also the ritual of the scapegoat. That's where we get the English word scapegoat, where the priest would confess his sins and the sins of the people over a goat and then send it off into the desert to die. So a symbol of sin's removal from the people, but of course it was just a symbol. It didn't actually affect the forgiveness of sins. And of course this is where Jesus comes in, is that as the high priest and the lamb of sacrifice, his sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, was actually going to accomplish the forgiveness of sins. So this is how he was going to use the gift of his humanity. Now, of course, as the second person of the Blessed Trinity, he was very familiar of the same substance as the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, in his divinity, didn't need the Holy Spirit. Now, I just spent 10 days in Istanbul, and one of the things we did in class was talk about, you know, how Jesus can be fully God and fully human, and the various language that we can use. Fear not, I'm not going to give you a lecture on Christology, because, of course, we're trying to get a divine mystery into human language, and that's always fraught with danger. But the fact is and remains that Jesus was fully God, fully human. And so on this feast of the baptism, that the Spirit comes in the form of a dove, again, symbolism that we're very familiar with, and rests on his humanity, pointing to who he is as the Son of God. But of course, Jesus took on our humanity so that he could save us from within. That God didn't just stay in heaven and snap his anthropomorphic fingers and save us. That God wanted to be much more active and for us to be active participants in our salvation. So Jesus came and took on our humanity. So it was our humanity that was not just sanctified, but by his passion, death, and resurrection, Jesus was going to accomplish something even more marvelous. That Jesus was not only going to accomplish the forgiveness of our sins, but was going to raise us into the very divine life and inner life of God. That God's will was made manifest in Jesus, that we should have a greater dignity and position than we had before the fall. That Jesus was to accomplish, again, not just our reconciliation, but to raise us up into the life of God, so that what Jesus was by nature, truly God, that we might be by adoption, so that we might be raised up. You know, yesterday I did both two baptisms for two siblings and a funeral. So a beautiful bookends of course, our Christian life, right? In our baptism, when we were incorporated into the mystery of Christ, when we were promised the fruition of the fullness of life in God, and a funeral when we pass on into, we transition into eternal life, and that those who remain gather to assist the deceased with their prayers, that promise first made to the individual in baptism would now be fulfilled. And indeed, this is why we gather in hope every Sunday, to remember this great mystery, but also to be strengthened by, again, the Lord's very body and blood that he left us in the Eucharist, so that we might be strengthened not just spiritually in our souls, but in our bodies as well, because we are saved body and soul together. That we are the fullness of our humanity is saved. So as we gather on this cool winter morning, we recall the wonder that Christ came to accomplish for us. We gather in gratitude for such a great gift, and that we pray that we might draw strength from especially the Eucharist, that we might have the strength to persevere in answering the call that Christ has given to each one of us.